I apologize for my voice this morning. I've been battling a little bit of a cold all week, and yesterday I thought it was much better, and this morning I wake up and can hardly talk. Satan has his way of, hey, I'm going to put a stop to this, right? Anything we try to do sometimes, it gets a little difficult sometimes. But anyway, so I'm Chad Strong, and this is my wife, Rachel. And we had a great time in Sunday school this morning, sharing God's word and what God laid on our hearts to bring here to you guys. And our home church is West Windsor Baptist Church. We are traveling around to, I have to think this morning I got up and I wasn't, you know, my voice wasn't all there. And we've been in just over 40 churches, and our kids have always been healthy. We've been healthy, and this is the first time we've had any kind of an issue. So we praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for good health. And so we are here today with four of our children, and then we have one friend visiting with our oldest daughter that's with us today. We have nine children all together, and eight of them are... Is that me? Is my voice really cracking that bad? Just stand still. eight we adopted through the foster care system of Broome County, where we live. So what a journey that's been. We did foster care for many years, and our children come, and it's just very hard to let them go, and they just keep coming, and we just keep adopting. And is that my mic? Oh, okay. Our oldest daughter, Shauna, she's on the screen there, and she was adopted at age 16. And my wife's oldest son was 10 at the time. And I remember when we're like, what are we doing inviting a 15-year-old girl? I mean, usually you grow with your children, and we're like taking a step here on how this is all going to work out. But God works in mysterious ways. And after a year of being in our home, she started going to church with us and accepted the Lord as her Savior at age 17. And praise the Lord for that. And to God be the glory. It wasn't anything we did. We just shared the word with her and took her to church. And she was able to change her life. But she came out of living in a life of spiritual darkness. God was able to transform her and help her. She went to Baptist, Baptist Bible College at the time. It's now Clark Summit, but we like to call it
Baptist Bridal College.
It was there. She went 2 years there and met our son-in-law. And we were praying for a man be wonderful with her and to be a leader, a strong leader, and to help her walk through life. And the Lord delivered one. And praise the Lord. They are serving at First Baptist Church down in Perkasie, PA. And they are serving faithfully with the Lord. And we have three grandchildren that keep us busy. And next we have Wesley, is our oldest son. And he is flying with Kingdom Air Corps. So he has... the last seven summers or five?
It's five.
My numbers are all off this morning. The last five summers in Alaska training to be a missionary pilot. And Mama's heart always goes out when he says, okay, honey, Mom, I'm going on a flight. And just recently when he graduated college, we got him a GPS tracker so that we can track him wherever he is now.
We can find his body.
Yeah.
That's what, you know.
Yeah.
The worst is when he's talking to me when he's flying and he loses service. I hate that.
Yeah. And we try to call back and he calls back. I'm not dead, Mom. You know, I'm okay. So it's exciting to see. But he's learned to land on gravel bars, grass strips. He's taken missionaries where cars just don't go. So he has his private pilot's license, his instrument license, his commercial rating, and he's working on his instructor. He wants to help train kids that are coming up. He wants to help train pilots like he was trained. What a blessing it's been to have him part of that mission. He just graduated from Liberty University for his airplane mechanics. He's now a certified FAA mechanic. So he's fully set. Now he's going into missions full-time with Kingdom Air Corps. And he just spent some time over in Russia. Kingdom Air Corps has three planes?
Mm-hmm.
Three planes over in Russia. They've shipped over there in a container and put together, and they are flying in Russia as we speak. And what an amazing journey that has been to watch God work in Russia, of all places, right? It's exciting. And for the rest of our children, we're just waiting to see how the Lord is going to use them in their life. We do have two older daughters that are not following the Lord right now, and that we pray for them dearly every day, that God will change their hearts and help convict them of the lives that they're living. And as I was sharing in Sunday school, how sin so
easily
entangles us into nonsense that is definitely separates us from the Lord. So you might wonder what brings a man to take his herd to Nicaragua. And I love the song up here that the ladies just sang, "Send Me." And I think of us today as like we are saying, "Lord, send us," our family. It's a little scary at times. But I grew up locally in a small town in New York, a little bit downstate from here, closer to the border of Pennsylvania. I grew up with a loving family. I have two other siblings. And I attended church occasionally as a child, but I never had a personal relationship with the Lord. I lived going on doing whatever the world was doing, whatever my friends were doing, what was popular in school, what was, just that was my everyday living. And I just lived being my own master. I went to high school, I played sports, I went to college and I played sports, and then I graduated and came home, and that's where I met Rachel. I met my wife in a bar. And she is such a huge part of our salvation story. She's going to take over and share how we both came to know the Lord.
Hey, good morning. Some of this will be redundant for you ladies, you gal pals that were in Sunday school. But I'm going to try to remember everything because I'll be like, oh, did I already say that or did I not say that? So hopefully I won't bunny trail too much and I'll just stay on track. So I, too, grew up just in a normal home. I had, parents and sisters and I never went to church, though, with my family, like my parents and my siblings. My dad's whole family was Mormon, some of them practicing and some of them not. And my mother's whole family was Catholic, some of them practicing and some of them not. And neither one of my parents practiced their religion. And during the summers, I would go to a Baptist VBS, and we would memorize verses and drink orange drink. I remember playing Simon Says and doing all that fun stuff. But I never went to church with my family. I didn't know any friends that were Christians. I just didn't have church in my world. And when I was 12, I moved from one small town to another, to Whitney Point. Now, people did know where that was in Sunday school.
Did they?
Yeah, right. They did. We have a competition of who knows where each of our little towns are.
Who knows where Deposit is? Deposit, New York. Whoa!
Whoa!
Look at that!
Oh my goodness! That's the most ever, I think.
I won this one. I did. I did.
We should have got a picture.
I know, right?
Anyway, oh boy.
Thank you, Depositonians. The Lumberjacks. Go Lumberjacks.
So anyway, I moved from one small town to another, and when I had been there 2 weeks, I had gotten invited to a birthday party, and I got dropped off there at a super nice house. There was an in-ground pool, and there was also a keg of beer. And I was in eighth grade, 12 years old. And this would be my first experience with partying. And although I didn't participate that night, it would be the catalyst that would just shove me into this lifestyle through my whole high school career. And it led me down a road that was really just full of bad choices. Like Chad was saying, he lived just, like we just hung out and did what we thought we should be doing based on what everybody else was doing. Nobody was giving us counsel otherwise, and our parents just kind of let us do whatever we were doing with our friends. And it filled me with shame and regret of many different situations. And so I would get married at 21, have my son Wesley, who's the missionary pilot in Alaska, and I would go through a divorce 2 years later. And my parents, who had been married for 25 years, also were divorced in that same week, actually, that I left my husband. My parents were separated. And so it just was a place of, like Chad likes to say, spiritual darkness. There was just such darkness that hung over my life. And it was in a bar that I met Chad. And we hooked up quickly, and he moved in, and we got married, and we continued living our lives just like all the rest of our friends were, partying and just doing what we thought was right in our own eyes. And I worked in a mortgage office shortly after we were married. And we had this guy, 4 years I worked there, and for 4 years, Dale Davis came into my office. He was a FedEx man, and he was just super weird because he was a Christian. I knew he was a Christian. He didn't wear a sign, but I knew he was a Christian by the things that he did and the things he didn't do. He didn't go to certain movies. He homeschooled, which was super weird. Now we've homeschooled for almost 13 years now. And but he was just way different than anybody I had ever met. And I would always ask Dale, I would say, "Where do you go to church?" And he would always say back to me, "It's not about where I go to church. It's not about a church. It's about a relationship." And it just used to really irritate me because he would never tell me where he went to church. And so one day he was getting ready to leave the office, and he must have had to work up his courage. And he peeked his head into me and he said, "Hey, Rachel, how do you know that you're going to heaven when you die?" And I remember standing behind my desk, and it made me furious. Because I knew enough to know that if he didn't think I was going to go to heaven, then must be I was bound for hell. And so I went on to justify myself. I remember slamming my files and saying, "I'm a good person. Who are you to tell me I'm going to go to hell?" And he said, "Well, I didn't say that. I just asked you how you know you're going to get to heaven." And I justified myself saying, "I'm a good person. I just told him why I'm so wonderful, why I'm going to get into heaven." And again, he said to me, "It's not about that. It's about a relationship." So that day, I determined I was going to get a Bible, and I was going to start reading it, and I was going to set Mr. FedEx man straight that I indeed was going to go to heaven. So that's exactly what I did. And Chad and I had really decided before that, after 9/11, we had said, "You know, we don't want to be part of any organized religion. It's just the root of all evil in the world. Everything wrong must be because of religion." And so here I am. I start reading this Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And like I told the gals in Sunday school, I saw myself. I saw us in this book. I saw fear and despair and adultery and all of these things. And as only God could have it, I said to my husband one day, I said, "I'd like to learn how to play the piano, and I think we should start going to church." Because I had started reading, and he started asking me questions. And he worked out of town Monday through Friday at the time. And when he would call home, we would just talk about what was going on in the Bible. And so I said, "I want to learn to play piano, and I'd like to start going to churches." So we just started going to all different kinds of churches. We just, like, literally went everywhere on a Sunday morning. I was looking for a good choir, and we didn't know what we were looking for. We were just going to church. We were being holy. And as God could only have it, I ended up getting a piano teacher that come right to my house. And so come she did, Nancy Wellman. She was 67 in her cherry red Thunderbird. What year was it?
Like 65.
Like a 65?
56, something. An old one.
Yeah, old. And I mean, she was one cool cat. I mean, God knows exactly who to send our way. And Nancy came in, and I remember her telling me, I play the organ at the Hancock Baptist Church. And I don't know if I went and grabbed my Bible or whatever, but I just remember seeing her, "I'm religious too." I was so excited because, you know, I had this woman who played the organ. She must be holy, right? She must be religious. And so we sat down to practice piano, and the very first thing that she wrote in my notebook was John 3:16. And that's all she wrote. And I love to tell people, if you don't know that verse, if you've never read it, then you can go get yourself a Bible and see what God has for you in John 3:16. And so my piano lessons were supposed to be 30 minutes, and they would be, and then 2 hours or 2.5 hours later, we would finish up our talk about the Word of God. And Nancy was just such a light in my dark, dark world. And so she found out that we were church hopping and doing all that, and she never chastised us. She never, you know, she never left us a track or anything like that. And one day she said, I think you'd really enjoy this church right down the road, West Windsor Baptist Church. And I'm like, well, okay, we'll go there. So we went and sat right up in the front row. I remember that's where the cheap seats are. And Pastor, you know, he would preach from the Bible, and he would read, and then he would teach us about it. And, you know, you ever go to church where, like, pastor, like, you're the only person in the room, and he's just talking to you, and what he's talking to you about, it's just rending your heart. And so he would do this whole thing. He would say, you know, after he got done teaching us, he would say, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if something, God's word has opened up in you that you need prayer, please raise your hand and I'll pray for you. And so I started kind of like this, and then eventually I was like, that is me, I need prayer. And then one day I went forward and I went into a room and I heard the gospel through the Romans Road. And I thought it was cool, and I thought, yeah, I understand that, but I wasn't saved. I thought, you know, I didn't know it was for me. And so they sent their associate pastor to our house, and he started doing a Bible study with us. And I remember sitting on my couch, and I don't know what I asked pastor at the time, God only knows. And he said to me, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And he will guard your heart and your mind in a way that just surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus. And after hearing the gospel and hearing that, I knew that I needed to take all of my burdens, my shame and my fear and my guilt, and take that to this Jesus, to the cross. And I gave my life over to Christ that day in my living room, realizing that I was a sinner in need of saving. And Chad was in the very same way in October of 2004.
I was a little slower, but I came around. I got there eventually.
And we often think that we want people to be saved. We want them to come to that understanding. But that's just the beginning, that our lives begin to change. And our lives changed drastically. We did a lot of partying up until that point. And we were on our way to a wedding after getting saved. And I said to my husband, What are we doing with ourselves now? Are we just going to go tie one on and drink and party? And we sat there silent for a long time.
Yeah, she looked at me and I'm like, well, that's a good question. Here's a time where the rubber meets the road. What am I going to do? What am I going to do in this situation? So we didn't drink. We didn't. We went and we had a good time at the party, but we didn't do our normal thing. And we're really convicted about 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to share the hope that we have. Always be ready to share the hope that we have. And I know for myself and my wife, it will tell you that we could not do that if we were under the influence of any kind of drug or alcohol. It just wouldn't happen. So therefore, we use God's word to start shaping our lives. God's word changes people.
Amen.
It is amazing how when you read God's word, how many times it convicts you of something that you are doing. If we sit down and we pray before we read, God will reveal something to us that he wants us to hear. Do we obey it or do we not obey it? And we chose to obey. And there were a lot of different things that we've changed in our lives over the years, and there's still things tomorrow that we'll need to change.
It was the Word of God that did the changing also. I asked my pastor in my living room, I said, you know, in order to do all this stuff, do I need to quit drinking? And he would just annoy me too, because he would do this. He'd say, let me share with you, Rachel, from the Word of God. And I remember saying to him, do you not know? Like, I thought that y'all had like a list to do's and to don'ts. And he would say, well, just let me share with you what God's Word has to say. And he read us 1 Peter 3:15. And he just let it sit. We're such creatures of, I want it now. But he just let it sit and let the Lord's Word change our hearts.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So these people, you have your verse, honey.
Oh, my verse. I'm sorry. I skipped that.
Yeah.
These people just live this out. I shared this with the gals in Sunday school. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that's exactly what God's Word has done for us, and God's people have just shined their light.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, so we continued through our Bible study. We as I said, we were working on changing our lives. We got involved with our church at West Windsor. We started teaching Sunday school and started being really involved. And I was attending a men's conference. Do you guys go to the Men's Adventure? Yeah? Okay. All right. I love the Men's Adventure. And I was there during the prayer and praise time. And this is where I start getting choked up. But it was at that time God called me into missions. And I walked up on stage, and there was like four or five other men up there. And we were prayed for. And I was just driving home. I'm like, what did I just do? What is God calling me to do? So I drove home and I'm like, how am I going to tell my wife what I just did? And so I prayed for like 4 months because I wasn't sure how to process all of it. And I finally sat her down on the couch. It was eating me alive inside. So I sat her down on the couch. I said, honey, the Lord is working on me. And he wants us to go be missionaries somewhere. I don't know where, but he's already starting. And she called me crazy. What are you thinking? She's thinking, well, we're going to go to Africa.
I called you nuts, too. Yeah.
All missionaries go to Africa, right? You know, but anyway. So she said, well, I told her, I said, what? Well, I don't want to, you pray about it, and I'll just keep my mouth shut, and you pray about it, and then you see how you feel, because I didn't want to drag her somewhere. In my mind, I'm thinking, wow, I have a great job, we have a nice home, and everything is simple in our life at this point, simple as simple could be, but seemed to be after what we've been through over these last 2 years, Anyway, so she came back later on, and she goes, well, you know, I've been praying about this, and I'm willing to go. And she said, what really spurred me on is I was reading Jonah last night. Mm. If we believe God's word for what it is, you all know what happened to Jonah, right, when he said no to God. And she said, I don't want to end up in the belly of a fish, so we better go. So how true.
It's funny, but it's so true.
I know, exactly. So so that started our, that following February, mm-hmm. January, my wife went on a missions trip to Peru with some of our older children. And she went down to, it was a conference for all the ABWE missionaries in Central America. So she got to meet all these ABWE missionaries. Our church supports a lot of ABWE missionaries. So we just had a lot of information about ABWE. So that is the mission board, which you're having Dwayne Early here next week. You guys will be blessed by him. So he's a big part of our mission organization. And so that is our mission board. Our church, our sending church is West Windsor Baptist Church. They are sending us. The mission board is helping us out, and what a blessing they are. There's a lot of great people working there that have helped us develop a lot of things. We've been through a lot of training. So it's exciting, and our church is praying for us, but we still didn't know where we were going to go. So we finally got signed up, and that takes forever to get signed up for a mission agency, because they want to check all your ins and outs and make sure you're the real deal. Where am I going?
You just skipped this part right here, that's all.
Oh, okay. So we went through the application process, and then the floodgates open of the area directors that are over all the missionaries in the world start calling and say, "Hey, I see your family profile. Pray about this mission here, or pray about, you know, I know your family could be used well here. Just pray about this situation." And I was on the phone with a lot of guys, and I'm like, "How do I pick? You know, my wife likes to say that it takes us 4 months to buy a refrigerator. How are we going to find out where we're going to live? Or how, can God just send us an email?" You know, we're
times I said that.
So we had different ways to really pray and to work through all this. And so they started calling with a whole bunch of different things. So we put a whole bunch of this, put a whole bunch of information in our lap. So ABWE stands for the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. They have over 90 years of experience doing this, sending missionaries. We have over 900 missionaries in 70 different countries. So ABWE exists to share the story of hope, build communities of faith, and serve the world with love. I knew my wife coming back from that. I don't know if you guys know Evelyn Stone. She's a missionary in Peru, but she runs a women's help center and a pregnancy crisis center type thing. And my wife was really gripped with her background and what the Lord has asked her to do. And
so as I had been down there, it was actually in South America that the conference was, and Evelyn asked me if I could come down. She said, "Don't even learn Spanish, just come down here, and we'll put you guys to work, and you can learn when you're down here." And I could see, oh, yes, I would love to serve here in this ministry. 35 years she's been developing these women help centers. And but I didn't know what Chad was going to do. And so we had started with ABWE, and we were continuing our training. We had the opportunity to go down to Harrisburg to our international headquarters for some training and sit down with these area directors that were calling us about, there was an orphanage in Togo, Africa, that they really were pushing. He was really pushy. Oh, my heavens. They finally got somebody else, but I'm not surprised. They really wanted us there. And Evelyn was talking about Peru. We had some friends that were in Chile that were missionaries that were hours on the phone she spent. Does anybody know the Spinks? Kim and John Spink? They would call and ask us to come down there. So we started getting information. I was really thinking of Togo, Africa, and he had heard about this mission in Nicaragua. And it was camp ministry and farming and church planting and all this stuff. And so we went down there, me kind of excited about Togo, him kind of excited about Nicaragua. And about 2 days in, I was getting excited about Nicaragua, and he was getting excited about Togo. And, oh, we thought, oh, heavens, we seriously were just on our knees morning and night saying, "Lord, show us what you would like us to do." And so we got the opportunity to sit down with the area director of Central America, and it was like a man cave. He was telling Chad, "I need you for this." He's got building and construction and discipleship and church planting, and I'm like, oh boy, this is where the Lord has gifted my husband to serve. I know this in my heart. Oh, my dreams of women's ministry in a health crisis center, or I don't know what the Lord's going to do with that, but I'm going to have to go serve with my husband. And so I asked the area director, I said, "Well, what is women's life like in Nicaragua? I've never been there. I don't know. I didn't even know where Nicaragua was." And I said, "Do they need a women's crisis center there?" And he just sat back in his chair and he said, "We've been praying since the field opened 10 years ago, that this was couple years ago, for women's ministry to be established." And we just looked at each other and we thought, oh my goodness, this is where the Lord has equipped us to serve. And we just knew instantly that that's where we were going to go. And so, am I done? I don't remember.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Well, in May, what was it, 2 years ago? Three years this May. We went down on a survey trip to see what just exactly was going on in Nicaragua, and came back, and we were just on fire for the Lord. Then we needed to start the process. So we talked with our church. Our church started praying for us and about Nicaragua, and they agreed that, you know what, with our skill set and where Nicaragua is, that would be the best fit for us. So we all prayed together. So you may wonder, where in the world is Nicaragua? Well, Nicaragua is right in the center of Central America. It's slightly larger than the state of New York, for size-wise. It's the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's second to Haiti. 50% of the population is under the age of 18. And we'll share a story about that a little later. So there's a lot of kids running around down there. 80% of the population lives on less than $2 a day. So it's very, very impoverished. The wet season is from June to November. The dry season is from December to May, but it's always hot.
And much of all of Nicaragua almost suffers from severe poverty. The infant mortality rate down there is 3 times higher than here in the U.S. Here in the U.S., 7 out of 1,000 babies die before reaching age 1, and in Nicaragua, it's 24. The capital city lies right on a geographical fault line. We did not know that before we went down there. They are subject to hurricanes, earthquakes, and 19 active volcanoes. So we literally will be living right in the ring of fire. Right there in the capital city of Managua is where we will begin. We are already discussing with our missionary team down there of expanding east to the coast. But those are all things that the Lord will work out. So we will not be there alone, though. We will be working with the team down there from ABWE. We're going to race through a whole bunch of different ministry opportunities that are going on presently down in Nicaragua. Because of the poverty, there are many things that we can compassionately do for the people of Nicaragua while showing them the love of Christ and sharing the gospel.
So the churches that we go to, we really want our churches involved in our ministry. And so we would like to invite our church families to come down and visit and do some type of a ministry event. There's a lot going on down there, so there's many different ways you can get involved. We have our ministry center. There was an older gentleman that went down to Nicaragua, and he opened up Nicaragua for missionary work. And he had this vision of this camp church planting facility. And so he was able to purchase 162 acres. And in the backdrop, that is a volcano, if you can see. Yeah, it's behind me there. That is a volcano, and that was flowing lava last October. And so it was. There is a body of water in between our camp and that volcano. So we will be safe, you know, if you come down. I don't want you to be afraid to come down because of a volcano. Or we can go to glory together. So whatever you choose. I mean, it's going to be exciting either way. So we have many different things going on at this ministry center. We have housing for kids. We do it. There's a missionary down there that he just focuses on camp ministry, and so we have dorms. We can house about 80 kids. We have a dining hall and a kitchen that can feed about 120. So we want to build some more dorms to house some more children. We have a swimming pool. There's a sports ministry. We have two soccer fields, two baseball fields. Baseball is the most popular sport in Nicaragua, which I always thought all these countries out of the U.S. are soccer, right? But actually, Nicaragua is baseball. And when we were down there on our survey trip, our vision trip there, one of the missionaries says, oh, we have a big baseball game coming up. And I was leaving 2 days before the baseball game. I'm like, hey, you shouldn't even have told me. But one of the church plants invited 40 different men to play the U.S. missionaries in baseball. And after I got home, I emailed the missionary and said, hey, how'd that game turn out? And I said, what was the score? You know, he says, well, we don't really care about the score. 8 Nicaraguan men came to know the Lord that day. So who cares about the score of a baseball game when lives are being changed? So that's exciting. So we also have the farming ministry. The education is very poor in Nicaragua. So we're trying to train these Nicaraguan men and women and kids to farm, to take care of themselves, how to plant things. We just introduced beekeeping 6 months ago or so. And so we're trying to help our pastors, our leaders in Nicaragua to be self-sufficient so they don't have to rely on so much of the government.
I just saw Joseph give the nod back there when you were mentioned beekeeping. He's very excited to get involved with the beekeeping.
Yeah, beekeeping and all kinds of stuff that we hope to do when we get down there. So, but the main heart of our ministry center is our Institute for Church Planters. What we do down there is we are training local Nicaraguan pastors. All our church plants are started from a local Nicaraguan pastor. So we're trying to, because if the government ever asks us to leave, everything we did should run sufficiently if we do a good job at training. So that's our goal down there. And this is these pictures here are men. We just graduated 17 men last year from our Institute for Church Planters. Now it's a 2-year program that they go through. And before they, as soon as they start the program, we help them get a Bible study started in an area where they would want to start a church. So they're working on a Bible study with the individuals in the neighborhood. And when they graduate this class, they already have their church started. So our ministry center helps with this church planting, church multiplication ministry. Our ministry center is the hub. We offer marriage retreats.
Mm-hmm. Everything is based from the church planting perspective. Getting the local Nicaraguans to come and be the pastors. Chad won't preach, but the Nicaraguans will preach, and we will come alongside the church plant and help establish the ministry, getting the deacons, setting up the children's ministry, the women's ministry, so that the church will be run self-sufficiently by Nicaraguans.
Yeah, so that is a main goal of just discipleship, walking alongside these men as they are serving and being a support to them through this ministry center. I want to share a verse, Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And that's exactly what's going on in our ministry center down there in Nicaragua.
So we got to visit a couple of the church plants, and I think my fonts are going to be messed up because we put it on a thumb drive and put it in the computer, so if any of you know what that means, so that's why, but just roll with me. Rayedo's Feeding Ministry was an outdoor church. We went there, and they meet underneath the trees. It had been like -4,000 that winter, and we went in May, and it was super awesome. Everybody else was sitting under the shade, and Chad and I were like, oh, the sun. It was amazing. So we met there, and this is what a church plant in its entirety would be. The Holsingers are missionaries with ABWE that came alongside Pastor Valeriano, and they helped him to establish this church. So they come, they have a feeding ministry established in this church Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They feed the children at a specific time of day, and literally hundreds of kids come in off the street to this church plant. Now, the church plant runs its normal Sunday service on Sunday and Wednesdays, and Jen and Mark helped him, they no longer need to do that, but establish all of their ministries. And we got to, it's in a neighborhood just like this. This is a typical neighborhood where the people are walking to church. Not a lot of people drive. I'm going to tell them the story about the lady. We were going to, I don't know where we were going. It was a church day.
It was the next church plant we talk about.
We were going to church, and we're driving down the road. Now, Nicaraguans will literally ride on anything that's faster than walking. And so this truck goes flying by us, probably like 60 miles an hour on this two-lane road.
It's a pickup truck.
A pickup truck. And there are, I don't know, a dozen people standing in the back. Now, ladies, there was a woman. She was in a pink pencil skirt. And her pocketbook is thrown up over her shoulder, and she's holding on to the light bar on top of the cab. I just will never forget seeing that. So they don't, you know, they don't hop in their Mazda or whatever and go to church. They get there, they walk, they ride, whatever. And so this was the front of the church when we were there. There's no roof, like I was saying. But now there is a roof, and they're meeting in here. There's actually several rooms set up where they have their Sunday schools and teaching. So it's little kids like this that come in off the street. We would be saying, where is your mother? Because you can have 3-4-year-olds coming in off the street with an 18-month-old in their arms. It's just very typical. There are some women that come. Like the feeding ministry times, a few young men, but mostly children. So the missionaries will teach them a Bible story through ABWE has a great teaching tool.
Called Good Soil. Good Soil. They teach a lot with pictures. Mm-hmm. A lot of the kids can't read or write, so if we teach with a picture and they color in a picture, and so that's how we're trying to develop ways to better teach. These children and, mm-hmm. and people in Nicaragua.
Yeah, and you can use it here in your church. When I first saw it, I thought it was kind of cheesy, to be honest with you. But they make us teach with it. We have to teach with it once, and I've taught with it I don't know how many times. And we had a women's event at our church, and we invited women who'd never been in our church before for a Bible study, and we used that material, and 6 women came to Christ. So it is just great. I love it. It's 100 Bible stories. But anyway, they will teach with that. They'll write they'll bring a whiteboard so they can teach. It's just portable. They bring a portable speaker so they can Bluetooth. They have music, and it's much like doing church. It's really great. It's like a little VBS. Then at the end, they line up and they eat a meal. Most of them, it will be the only meal that they get that day. They walk around with plastic cups and plastic bowls. That's my elbow. There, I was serving mashed potatoes, and the little children come up and they will say uno, dos, tres, however many servings they want in their bowl, for however many they're taking care of. That's how many you put in the bowl. And the missionary came up to me when I was serving, and he said, "Put a little bit less because there's a lot of kids here today." And I just remember looking down, and I was like, "Oh my word! There's like a billion kids here," and I just wanted to like shrink away because I thought, where's the nearest McDonald's? I do not have enough potatoes here. And it was literally like feeding the 5,000. The last little chica came up, and I was scooping out potatoes, and there was enough in the bowl. Praise the Lord, because they look like this. Like, how would you not give them something to eat? And they just have a grip on their bowl. They're carrying 2 bowls at one time, something that us moms would be like, let me carry one of those for you, and it's just not necessary. This was a picture that I took down there. This was a woman and her little girl, and I just love this picture. What you can't see from afar is how filthy she is, dirty on the outside, and equally as dirty on the inside, without the love of Christ. And that's what we want to. These things pull at our heartstrings. There's a lot of things that you can physically do. Teams can come down, they can set foot on the ground, and they can actually do great things compassionately and while sharing the gospel with these people.
So this was a young man that was there. He was one of the ones, when the missionary is teaching, he writes a verse on the board, and he teaches the kids that verse for the day. And then at the end, he'll slowly erase one word off that verse. And this young man was one of the 5 that could recite that verse. I thought, wow, he's pretty sharp. You know, he's memorizing scripture. But I just played with him for a little while, and that's probably the only outfit that he has. But just a smile on his face. These kids have joy, and when mm-hmm. you're teaching them God's word, they eat it right up. And it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. This is Tanya. She was just another girl off the street there that I was playing. That ball expands when you throw it, so she thought that was pretty cool. So we were playing with this ball, and we left the church plant, and she'd chase the van that we were in down the road, and she'd be like, bye, see ya. And Later on, around the kitchen table, I was sitting there with the missionaries, and we started talking about Tanya. And they were like, well, you know, she's an orphan. And I was like, what? She looks, you know, it looks, she has a home, you know. And they're like, well, no, she doesn't. She wears the same clothes every day. And one of the main problems in Nicaragua is the man and woman will get together, either they'll marry or not, and have kids. And if one of the, you know, parents get in a fight or whatever, one leaves. If a man leaves and goes into another home where there's a mother that has children, he kicks those children out. So there is a huge problem down there of homeless kids. And, you know, I pray that the Lord will take our family down there and be an example of adoption, that these guys, and I pray that I can find an in with these guys to help them say, you can take care of those kids. You know, God calls us to take care of the children. And I hope to be a great example for them down there in our time.
We got to go visit another church plant, Fuente de Vida. This was another outdoor church at the time. We met underneath the trees just like this. And they sometimes set up tarps, either when it's raining or when it's too hot and the sun is shining. But this day we were sitting just under the sky. And this church plant has Pastor Luis Garcia Silva. And he has these three single ladies that are ABWV missionaries that have come into his church plant and have helped establish his women's ministry and his children's ministry. And actually, they are done at this church. This church is actually planting another church about an hour and a half away from this church plant. They are in the mountainous region of La Concha. And Tracy Warner told me that there's no gringas teaching Sunday school anymore because they've trained up the ladies about 2 years, and they're now running their Sunday school. So they have, since we were there, built this little church. And when we got there, there was a lady sweeping the dirt. I thought she was just a little loca, but she was sweeping the dirt. And it looked nice where she had swept, and they set up the chairs, and it's their space. I think I'm going to start that video. And it's their space. It's much like us sweeping the sidewalk, and they have great pride in their church places.
You can go to the next slide. It's a blank slide. I don't know why it's in there today.
Okay.
Hit the thing again.
Okay, and we're going to share a video. Oh, no?
Share a video? So these are the guys sweeping the dirt around the building.
That's the pastor in the white shirt.
And so they are sweeping the dirt still to make their church building look nice. I mean, they take great pride. And I remember we were there, and they had these white chairs, white plastic chairs, like a deck chair. Those are the favorite chairs they have down there. But they had some old wooden ones that fold up. And there was one white one, kind of a stray one off in the distance there from Sunday school that nobody picked up. So I walked over and I grabbed it. And I made the mistake of sitting it next to a wooden chair. You know, I'm thinking, who cares? It's a chair, right? Well, this young boy that takes great pride in making sure all the chairs are straight, he came and he put it next to a white plastic one. So it was just, it was neat to see. I mean, this boy was 8 years old, maybe, mm-hmm. 8 years old, you know.
Takes
great care in their church facility. So it's awesome to see. My wife was saying in the video. Yeah, so go ahead and hit it.
Okay.
There we go.
Cerca de la iglesia hay una escuela.
We have an elementary teacher in our local community that teaches school in the morning and in the afternoon consults as a witch. In our very first activity in La Concha, we gathered a lot of children. In that first lesson, through the Bible, we taught the Ten Commandments. On the following day, the kids went to school. The same teacher found out the kids came to our service. She called the seven children forward and asked them to get down on their knees before the idol she had from the Catholic Church. Three of the seven children said, no, we can't do that. We learned about the Ten Commandments yesterday and that there is only one God. The teacher got a branch and beat the children, but they still didn't bow down. The teacher hit very hard, so much so that the parents tried to get her fired. But the Catholic priest stepped in and said no. The important part of that story is that those three children that chose not to bow down have been baptized and are members of the church. My name is Luis Garcia. I'm a pastor. I work in the Fountain of Life Baptist Church in La Concepción, When we got to La Concha, we did a survey to see what the greatest needs in La Concha were. There's a lot of poverty, so they need food and love. By faith, we started a feeding program for the children. And through that program, we got more information about them and their families. We found many of these kids, they don't understand what it's like to have a mom and a father in the home, but instead, the moms change out their partners 1, 2, 3, 7, 9, 11 times. Children don't have space to grow up normal. From a very young age, there is much sex experimentation between cousins and siblings. That condition in the home allows for more abuse. Sometimes a brother is abusing a sister, or an uncle, or a father, or the guy that the mom is currently with. What happens as a result is little girls, from the time they are 10 to 12, they begin to have sex, and many get pregnant. They start their cycle where they are economically dependent on one or more men. Another problem we have here in La Concha is all the schools are in our community are dominated by the Catholic Church. So all the kids are being instructed to go and bow before idols. The Catholic Church and the witchcraft in La Concha go hand in hand. They are one and the same. We have children that have very low levels of education due to all the teachers come out of the same community that they are in. We have teachers that don't know how to spell and are teaching the kids how to spell the wrong way. We have kids that should be reading at a higher level but aren't due to their teacher's level. Kids around 8 to 9 are being pulled out of school to work for family. Children would grab machetes to work in the fields or go to Managua to sell fruit. This leaves them with a deficit in education and only allows them to work in fields the rest of their lives. We feel very strongly that we need a school in La Concha that will give a better education, that will reach levels that will allow them to grow educationally and economically. But even more than that, we want a school where we teach Jesus Christ and they know who Jesus is. We are going to take about 2 years to prepare people in our church to become teachers. After that, we'll put in a formal application to be able to start our school. We are blessed that we already have the land where the school will be built. However, we don't have the resources to actually build the school. Before we are able to apply to be able to start the school, we would like to have at least 6 classrooms built. The first thing I would like to ask for are people praying that this would be God's will that is taking place here, not just my dream or my thoughts, but that this is what God would have for the community. For us, we need all of the financial help we can get. We would need people to come down and help build the school. The thing we want the most is to present the gospel and present Jesus in La Concha. And it's through that that we will be able to change La Concha.
So there's where opportunities for you as a church to come down and help build. You know, in 2 years, that the video was just taken. So in 2 years, we hope to be on the field. We have to go to a year of language school and learn Spanish, and then we will be able to hit the field running. We have a nurse that's down there, and she runs medical ministries. You don't have to be a doctor to come down and help a kid wash his hands, or help them clean their ears or brush their teeth. And you can just come down and hug these kids. It's just amazing how much love we can share, even if we don't speak the language. We had a group from the States come down. Well, not we, the missionaries down there had a group come down, and that's someone's house. That's the inside of someone's house. And they had a teen group come down, and they wrapped these houses in black plastic. The Nicaraguans love it. This is like new siding on their house. It'll last for a year or so, but that's all they care about. And so, that, again, there's someone's house. And go to the next picture there. So that's the teen group there wrapping this person's house up. So it's exciting to see U.S. churches getting involved in helping out down there and helping this younger generation in Nicaragua to change their way of living.
Now, something else that you can do is you can come down and, like, run a VBS for a day, like a children's day. And you will get 200 to 500 kids would come out for anything that you want to do. You can play games, do puppet ministry, There's many things that they do. Many of the women will come out, and as you notice, they are not the ones that are starving. Nicaragua is second in the world to the highest pregnancy rating of girls 10 to 14 years old. Many women become pregnant between the ages of 10 to 14, and they start the cycle of they're not ready to have children, but they have bore a child. That's why it's very easy when another man comes in for him to kick out her children, because she is a child herself. But the children are definitely starving. So it always includes making a meal and feeding whoever comes. It's just super fun to be down there and sharing the love of Christ while serving them in this way. The church plants, this is a church plant that Irena Doyle began. She was an ABWE missionary. This is definitely something that we hope to do, to establish a church plant in whatever neighborhood we try to live in, or I guess that we don't try to live there, the neighborhood we're going to live in there. And she would set up church in her living room with a Nicaraguan pastor, and they since have bought property. They were meeting under a tent, and now they are preparing to put up a church building. And so what we will do is come alongside those national pastors and try to teach them some ways, either growing chickens or growing crops, to sustain the pastor of that church so that he can live with his family in the church area and be there to pastor the people that come there.
Yeah, so we just shared a whole lot with you guys, and our hearts are burdened to go down there and help with discipleship and really get our hands deep into this church planting with our ministry center. So that is our main goal. The Lord is going to direct us when we get down there, so it's sure going to be exciting when we finally hit the ground down there. So.
Okay, so where are we at now? Well, we're raising support, finding partners that you are going to go with us. You're going to support us monthly as a church or as individuals and friends and family. And all together, we're going to go to Nicaragua to do this. We can't go alone. So that's what we're doing. We're going to different churches and seeking out who the Lord would have for us. And right now, we're at 70% of our monthly need. And that is we need about $2,300 more to get to our 100%. We have a lot coming in. We're getting super excited. We hope to leave August 1st. So it's about 8 months and 3 weeks. We have to sell our house. We have to get visas. We have to pack and all of that in 8 months, which I know it's going to go very quickly. We are at almost 100% for our ONP. Our ONP is outfit and passage. That is our train tickets, our plane tickets, our visas, a vehicle, so we have at least one vehicle for ministry, and just everything to basically get set up there. We are almost at 100% because Chad is working a little bit more than part-time. The money that people are currently giving to support us is going right into that outfit and passage, so that's why it's so high. We have a monthly newsletter that is kind of bi-monthly. We've been so busy with traveling and classes and all kinds of different stuff. We have a newsletter sign up on our table. Please sign up for that. If you want to keep up to date with us, you can take a prayer card. You can find us on Facebook. You can like our ministry page, or you can become friends with us. And certainly if there's something that you want to do in Nicaragua, send us a note so we can keep you in our little notebook to, you know, this person has an interest in building or nursing or wants to wrap plastic or wants to teach them how to grow chickens or something like that. Let's see. So go to our table. Our son also has prayer cards out there. Please pray for him. If you want to take his prayer card and stick it on your fridge, I love people praying for him. It does this mama's heart good. I wanted to just wrap up with telling you about my FedEx man. I told you shortly after I started reading my Bible, I left that office about 3 months later. And so Mr. FedEx had no clue that I was reading the Bible because I wanted to finish it before I went to war with him about why I was going to go to heaven. And so about 7 years after we were saved, I wondered if Mr. FedEx still delivered there. And so I called the office, and as God would have it, he did. And I asked the girls there if they would have him call me, and which had to be super weird, but he did call me. And I'll never forget that day because I answered the phone, and I said, "Hey, Dale." And he was like, "Yeah." Must have been thinking, what in the world? 7 years, this woman has not been in my life, and she's making me call her. And I said, hey, I said, one day you asked me a question. And he was like, yeah. And I said, well, you asked me how I was going to get to heaven. And he was just silent. And I said, well, Dale, I know now because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, and I've accepted him as my Savior. And he just started bawling. It was great. And I asked him at that point, I said, now I have a question for you. I said, where do you go to church? Because he would never tell me. And I still wanted to know. And he said, I go to Newark Valley Baptist Church. And we had just the wonderful, amazing opportunity to present our ministry there. And he got up and he introduced us. And he said, I have to be honest. He said, I know the Lord is great. He said, but I thought she was without hope. I thought she was hopeless. And just praise the Lord that he is so good and so faithful to us. And it's God's word that saves.
So as she was asking you to pray for us, we'd like to pray for you today. That maybe you can be that FedEx man to your neighbor or FedEx man to somebody, your coworker. We are being watched as Christians today. We all look at the news, all right? When we walk out those doors, what does our life represent? My wife likes to say, I want to be so full of Christ that it's spilling out, and when people walk by, they slip in my Jesus. You know? And what an honor we have. What an honor we have to spend time with Christ in his word and just have that joy, that glow, no matter what is going on in our life. We can be a comfort to know that we will be going to heaven. So I want to pray for you today that as you guys walk out the door and through the week, no matter where you are, you may not know who your life affects. She just called us. He never would have known if we hadn't have contacted him. So you may not know whose life you affect. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you so much for everything you do for us in your word and how you help us change our lives and navigate this dark world that seems to be getting darker every day, Lord. And give us strength. Give us strength to stand up for what we believe in, and help us to be an example at work, in the grocery line, at the grocery store, just anywhere where we're at. Help us to be an example, and help us to be that light to the people in this world. And I thank you so much for the church here and everyone here today, Lord. It's a blessing to see families and young kids, and just the whole the whole day is just a blessing to us, Lord. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.